I'd invite you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2 this morning. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. And just want to be an encouragement to you this morning. I help to challenge you with some things from God's Word this morning. As the preacher mentioned, this is the Sunday school hour. This is the Bible hour, right? And as I'm excited to see all your Bibles this morning, pray with me this week. I get to preach at football camp as well on Tuesday morning. And so pray that God would use me during that time as well. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2, I'd like to turn your attention to the end of the chapter, down in verse number 17 as we get going. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 2 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence," but notice this phrase, "not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." I've only been gone from my family for just a couple days, but yet I have a great desire to see them again. And what a joy it is to have the technology we have, to be able to video call each other. And my son, 3 years old, his name is Paul. We call him Mr. Paul, but he's all of a Mr. Paul, too. He was on the call last night. Mom was trying to talk to me, and Mr. Paul was fixing the rug behind her, and had his little plastic tools with his rug, and there he was fixing the rug. He didn't care if I was on the phone or not. He would come every once in a while, and he would say hi, and you know, and then he'd say bye, and then he'd go back, and he'd be fixing his rug, and I couldn't hear a thing. My wife was telling me the whole conversation, and I was just nodding, and he was fixing that rug. I mean, he had his tool, and it was such a joy, you know, to see him, you know, because I couldn't hear a word they were saying. It was a blessing, you know, but I still have that great desire to see their face, right? In verse number 18, it says, "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again," but what's it say there, church? "But Satan hindered us." Verse number 19, the Bible says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our joy," "and joy. For ye are our glory and joy." I want to ask you this morning, what is your glory and joy? What is your glory and joy? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this sweet time that we can spend in your house. I pray, oh God, that it wouldn't just be another Sunday morning. Pray that we wouldn't just go through the motions. We wouldn't just go from ministry to ministry. I pray, God, that you would anoint us with your power. Pray that you'd fill us with your spirit. Pray that hide me behind your cross, oh God. Pray that we'd hear from you even in this Sunday morning hour. And I pray that you'd use the preacher for the service to follow, Lord. And I pray that you'd combine things in only the sweet way that you can and minister to our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we understand and read through the epistles of Paul, we understand that he was afflicted and conflicted many times through his travels, and yet God gave him a great and abounding ministry. It was amazing that everywhere he went, every step he took, it seemed like the gospel flourished and it seemed like people received the gospel. And we all know how that the Macedonian call shifted his focus to one area to another. And yet as he went to that area, he was met with great reception of the gospel. We see that earlier on in the passage, but we also see that he was met with great trial of affliction. Everywhere he went, in verse number 18, and I'll share a little bit more in a few minutes, Satan hindered him. I jokingly say that he went to two places in every town that he went. He started and went to the church, and then he was ushered to prison almost every single time. And he continued his ministry in prison every single time he went. Many times he knew the prisons much better than he knew the churches, because he spent a lot more time there. But yet God gave him this effectual, this desire, this yearning to be with God's people. And I would pray for you and with you this morning that would be your desire as well. That your desire would be for God's people, to be with God's people. Can I tell you this morning that your glory is what shines in your life? It's not what you say about yourself, but it's what others say about you. It's what your life says based on the path that you're leaving, based on the ministry and the effect that you have. Your glory is really, as we see in Proverbs, and we'll see this a little bit later, but as parents, your glory is the generation that you leave behind you, your kids and your grandkids. And I pray that we would become to see our great-grandkids. And then in the ministry, I pray that we would see kids in the faith and grandkids and great-grandkids as well. I heard recently, as we're dealing with several things in our church, and our church is not a perfect church. We go through problems much like you do as well. And I heard a preacher recently say, you know, that we should strive to not have our name mentioned when it comes to the problems surrounding the church.
Right.
It's funny when we talk about gossip and we talk about different things, and people bring things to the preacher and to the pastor, and one name keeps coming up, and one name keeps coming up, and someone brings this name, and it's the same name over and over again. And when you go and confront this person about this issue, of course it's not their fault.
Right.
It's never their fault.
Right.
It's never them. It's always them. It's amazing how that happens in our life. Your glory is what shines in your life. Your joy this morning, as in verse number 12, it says that ye are our glory and joy. Your joy is much deeper than just happiness. Your joy is a true feeling that all is well. I'm sure many of you love the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." As we know, the author of that song, and as it was written, we know the story of how that this man was not enjoying life at that very moment. He was in great suffering, in pain, of loss of his family. And yet at the very deepest part of the pain of the loss of his family, he wrote, "It is well with my soul." Why? Why? Because the joy that we have doesn't come from necessarily the earthly relationships, even though it can be connected to that. But it has to be always connected to the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he wants to do in our lives. I want to turn your attention to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4 and verse number 6, if you would. And then I want to share you three thoughts from this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, for a long time this has been considered kind of our passage of ministry, you might say. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4. Start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if," what's it say there, church? "Our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And this morning, if we look at that verse, we understand that it's our gospel because it's something that we've received freely, been given to us. And as it's been given to us and we've received it, we take possession of it. We become sons of the living God. We become co-heirs with God of His riches, of His righteousness. And as we understand that it becomes our gospel, it also becomes our responsibility to share that gospel. We say, if our gospel be hid, and I wonder then, who's hiding it? If it's ours, it's being hid, who's hiding it? Because it says then, to whom it's been hid from, to them that are lost. Obviously, it's not the lost that's hiding it. Can't blame the liberals. Can't blame the left. They're not hiding it. They've never had it. They've never got it. Guess what? You can't blame an unsaved Christian for acting unsaved. You can't blame them. They're wicked. They're on their way to hell. They don't know the difference. They don't know the difference. We're called to have compassion. We're called to have mercy. We're called to have grace. We're called to take the next step. And yet, for some reason, it's still being hid to those that are lost. Can I dare say it's because if it's ours, we're hiding it because we're not giving it. You'll see in my video a banner on a table just left of the pulpit there. And it says Operation 15,000. And we've done this several times over the years. But when I made the video a few years ago, we were in our 15th year of the church. And so God gave me a burden to give out 15,000 pieces of literature during that year. And just to try to motivate the people, encourage them, and to really renew our focus in planting the seed and being purposeful and in trying to reach the lost. And we kept track of it. So every packet of 50 that we put on the table, we had a sign-up sheet. They had to sign them out, and then they had to check them off whenever they gave them. Because you know how it is. I mean, you take a bunch, you put them in your car, and then next week you take a whole bunch more, and then you store them in your car, and you get home, and you put them on your dresser, and pretty soon we have stacks and stacks of them, and we've only given out a few. And so we had them sign back in whenever they had given them out. And at the end of the year, I think we ended up giving around 35,000 or so. Because of focused effort, and that's not any testament to me or our ministry. We can do a lot in a little bit of time, and I'd invite you to come. Brother Gabriel's been there. We have a metro system that's above ground where we live in the part of the city. And so if you go to the end of the metro at the beginning of the day, there will be lines and lines of people. By the way, we live in a city of 4 million people. And so at 7 o'clock in the morning, we've done this a couple different times, but for three different mornings, 1 week, we had the goal, not the year that we did the operation, but a different year. And we took about eight people, and for three mornings, we stood there in the lines, and And really, as fast as you could hand out literature, people would take them. And there was very few that would throw them away. But just in about three mornings, I'd say in less than 10 hours, we passed out a little over 20,000 tracts. Just from that focus, and literally, it's literally just standing there. We just got backpacks full, and so the opportunity to get the gospel out is there. And the blessing is that people are willing to take it, and you never know when someone will read that, when someone will accept that invitation to accept Christ in their heart. But I want you to notice then a few more verses in verse number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And notice this phrase, ourselves. Remember whose gospel it is. Talk to me. Ours. So ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Okay, so who are we hiding the gospel from? The lost. So who do we need to serve with the gospel? The lost. So Paul's saying ourselves, the saved, are your servants, the lost, for Jesus' sake. Verse number 6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the what? Remember the question this morning, the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Can I ask you again this morning, what is your glory and joy? First of all, this morning, I want to turn your attention back to the passage that we mentioned. In verse number 17, can I encourage you by saying, genuine love creates a desire to be together. Verse number 17, but we brethren being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. We take for granted the ability for us to travel and the ability for us to communicate today. We really do. I mean, I traveled on Friday. I left my house at noon and got here. What time, Brother AJ? We got here 9:30 or so. So, I mean, that was pretty quick, really. I mean, halfway across the world. It really wasn't that far, just a little bit south of Florida. But we got here faster than the pastor. I mean, I beat the pastor to the picnic yesterday. I mean, it was a blessing. I mean, I was shocked, you know, that I got here so quick. But can I encourage you that genuine love for one another creates a desire to be together.
You're right.
I loved being at the picnic yesterday. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the fellowship. It was a true blessing. And just me being an outsider, observing all of you interact and fellowship and have fun together and play games. And then as your preacher came in, and did you ever eat? I didn't ever really hardly see you eat. But I know that he went one after another, greeted each and every one that he saw, talked to you. You talked to him. You talking to each other. Why? Because you have a genuine love for one another.
Amen.
And that's what a church is.
Amen.
A church is a place that we come together. We love one another. We've received such a great love from our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's illustrated over and over again, and especially in Acts chapter 1 and 2, how that they had everything in common. And that was the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he had done for them was so great for them. His love for them was so great that it binded them together in such a way that they were willing to sacrifice everything, and many of them their lives, for the gospel, and so that they could be together. Every place you see, and I want you to study it later on, but every place you see that Paul went, he writes back to them and he begs God for the opportunity to see them again. I desire to see you. I earnestly pray for you. I seek your face. I want to know about you. And you'll see later in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 3, he even sends someone where he can't. He sends someone to be able to give a report to him about what's happening. Why? Because he desires for their well-being. He desires for them to be well with the Lord and to be growing in the faith. How many Sunday school classes did you dismiss earlier, brother? It was a blessing to see each teacher and all the young people gathered together, singing, doing the motions. I mean, and they weren't just going through the motions, brother. They were doing the motions, man. And it was a blessing to see that and to be encouraged by that. And then as they ushered their kids out, and how excited those kids are. Can I tell you, if you minister to bus kids, some of those kids, that's the only love they're going to see.
Yeah.
All week long.
Yeah.
Right. You do not understand the value of your investment. But Pastor, I can't spare a couple hours a week. Can you love for a couple hours a week?
Come on.
Amen.
Can you love for just a couple hours a week? My wife grew up in San Diego. She didn't grow up in a Christian home. She grew up in a good home, moral home, not a Christian home. And one day, a couple ladies knocked on her door. And her friend were outside, and they were sharing the gospel with them. And my wife got saved, and they became to pick her up. And every single week, bus captains and bus workers would come and minister to her, an 8-year-old little girl. And they invested in her enough in 3 years that when they moved to New Mexico, she knew enough of foundational truth of the Bible and what an independent Baptist church should be, that when they went to New Mexico, she sought from what she had learned, from what she had been taught, she sought a fundamental Baptist church, to which she then got involved at 11 years old, 12 years old. Then she became a bus captain. The Lord touched her heart. She went to the Dominican, and then she, married the love of her life. That was the rest of the story, right? But now we get the opportunity to do, she's texting me this morning. I said, how are you? I'm good. I'm just burdened for the ministry, she tells me. I'm burdened for one of our young girls. Gabriel and Ella know her. Come to her house all the time. Adopt a daughter. She's struggling. Both of her parents died. They live alone. What can we do for a little bit of time every week to love her, to help her? Her name's Susie. We say, Susie, what do you need? I just need a place to come. Can I come sleep at your house? Sure, Susie, you can come sleep at our house. You know why? She just wants loved. She gets beat up everywhere she's at. No one else cares about her. No one else sees her. All she wants is for someone to love her. 1 Peter 4, verse number 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins."
Right. Right.
I want you to notice the second verse says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. I didn't hear anybody grudging last night. I'm telling you what, I got about halfway through the line. I looked down at my plate's completely full. And then I looked up. There's four more tables of food. And I'm thinking, I didn't calculate this very good. I mean, I needed to like assess the situation before I went ahead and took from every, you know, a good church dinner. You got to choose a little bit from every little thing. You don't want to upset the grandma. And so you take a little bit. I'm a good missionary. I mean, you got to take every, you know. And I looked down. There's four more tables of food. I said, there's no way. I got to quit here, you know. It's impossible. Love is not just a word. It's action. And what we're doing as we're coming together, I can't get away from the picnic. I wish I was 20 years younger. I mean, that slip inside looked amazing. Who got on the slip inside yesterday? Come on, don't be shy. You adults, who got on it? Don't be shy. I did that a couple years ago, but I was not near as creative. I didn't have all the floaties and everything. Man, next time, I'm going to do that for our kids. I'm going to get the floaties. And how much soap did y'all put on that? That's a lot of soap. I told the one group that I was sitting with underneath the canopies, I said, we just needed to have the brushes like a car wash, because some of you kids, you'd come through and you were already soaked down. So I said, we just need to have the brushes, you know, to just go ahead and clean you off. And then at the end, you could have the hose and get you rinsed off. No. Genuine love creates a desire to be together. Quickly, number two, you'll notice in verse number 18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Let me tell you verse number two, or number two this morning. Don't let Satan hinder you from ministering to one another. Don't let Satan hinder you from ministering to one another. What he wants to do is cause division, cause strife, cause conflict. He's going to want to offend you and make you offended. He's going to want to separate you, because where you're together, there's strength. But if he can separate you, if he can just peel off the weak ducklings, maybe the lion can get you. That's what his desire is. Romans 1:13 says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. The amazing part is that the power of the gospel is way stronger than any attack that Satan has. And as we study the armor of God, we understand that the feet shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace is our literal preparation, our desire to get the gospel around the world. And it's not so much of us doing it as our preparation to do it. And if we're prepared to do it, we're ready to do it. If we have tracts in our hands, I tell our people all the time, it's impossible to give a tract to someone if you don't have a tract. Impossible. It's hard to give the word of God out if you don't have the word of God in you. If you don't have the word of God with you. If you don't even know where to go when the pastor's calling, go to Deuteronomy, chapter number 5. You don't even know where Deuteronomy is. You need to study your Bible. Why? Because that's the best defense against Satan's attacks, so that you're not hindered to when some gossip comes and wants to fill your ear with some nonsense. Can I tell you, truth or not truth, what it's doing doing is causing us and creating a wedge in our lives from the light so that we can't see. So that we fall. That's all it's doing. Lastly, this morning, and I'll close. Verse number 19 and 20. He clearly tells us what, or rather who, should be our glory and joy. It says in verse number 19, "For what is our hope and or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Read it with me now, church, verse number 20. "But ye..." Let's start it again and I'll start it correctly. "For ye are our glory and joy." So who's our glory and joy? Those that your life's touching is your glory and joy. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Colossians 2:5 says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfast of your faith in Christ." You know what I'm yearning for is a little bit later after church, receiving a phone call from our people, rejoicing with them about how the services went in my absence. Because I don't want the work to stop when I'm gone. I want it to continue. And I'm hoping that they tell me, "Pastor, there was a visitor here. Praise the Lord." I'm hoping they tell me, "Pastor, there's somebody that got saved this morning. Praise the Lord." I want the work to continue. And I want the people that we're training and equipping for the work to continue the work while I'm gone. It gives us great peace of mind when we're gone, when we know the work is going forward. Your preacher can go preach, and he can go minister, and he can go speak to other people. Why? Because he has the peace of mind that you're going to be in your place. You're going to be faithful. You're going to be ministering here while he's gone. And I know you're on his heart when he's gone. I know it. Why? Because I'm one of them. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren..." Beloved brethren, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord." Can I leave you with this? Your labor is only not in vain in the Lord if you're laboring. If you're laboring, if you're loving, if you're caring. I've got a man I'm dealing with, and he sees every flaw possible that he can find. And I ask him every single time I talk to him, "Who are you ministering to? Who are you loving? Who are you reaching? When's the last time you went soul winning? When's the last time you told someone about Christ?" Because when our eyes are not focused on ourselves, we can easily overlook the flaws. Because we're focused on reaching someone else. We're focused and giving energy to those that really need help. Right? I would say that most of us, we're pretty loved. So share that love with someone else. Care for someone else. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to bless us in this service. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray now that you'd guide us now in this morning service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome.